two, and here's Modi.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to And Here's Modi. It's been a minute. It's been a little while. We've been traveling and shows, and we're here with Leo and with Perry L and Shana Tova. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Isn't that great? It's a new year. Mm-hmm. It happened on your birthday. Your new year and the new birthday in the same exact almost day.
Is that true?
Isn't that insane?
My birthday, September 24th.
And then Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah was on the 25th. It was Mashiach. So much fun. Mashiach, no. Don't.
All roads lead to Mashiach.
Don't.
On this podcast.
Everything leads to Mashiach. Always, yes. We saw Mashiach. We saw him in Sao Paulo.
Okay, yeah. We have a lot to talk about. We were in Brazil.
And we were excited to go there until we got there. Oh my God, no.
Let me... You've done a lot of events for organizations and charities and what have yous.
Yeah.
This organization you did it for in Brazil
was insane. Amazing.
We went to it was a soup kitchen, pantry sort of facility that was the cleanest, most orderly,
next
impressive.
Level.
It was next level.
Okay. They flew you out.
They flew me to Brazil and they wanted me to
be
there.
Sao Paulo.
Okay.
And they
say it like that.
And they
You have to say it like that.
And they wanted me there a day. We landed in the morning and then we had a whole day. And the next day was the show. And the next day we left in the evening. So it was like 3 full days in Sao Paulo. But they wanted us to see the place and see the Jewish community and see this location. First of all, we landed. And, you know, we think in our head, Sao Paulo, it's this hot beaches.
Your
and
head.
Who thinks?
Your head.
In my head. Yeah.
I flagged this before we even landed.
I was in shock.
Oh my God.
Imagine the most horrible. The only reference I had was like ugly buildings in Israel. Like, you know, you drive in Israel and you see buildings that were built right when they got there, like old buildings in Allenby.
Mm-hmm.
And those, imagine an entire city that looks like that. And it's 14 million people. And we were in the nice area, and that which every house was guarded like with a fence, like it was an embassy.
You know, yes, that's Brazil.
I wasn't expecting that.
I knew that was what it was going to be.
I thought it would be.
I said this to you. I was like, do you know we're going to Brazil?
A nice hotel. It was a nice hotel.
It was a nice hotel.
They put us up in a nice hotel.
Did you guys have like bodyguards and stuff?
We should have. Someone drove us home from the gig in a bulletproof car.
Yeah.
No, we got there and the rabbi wanted to show us the place. And this place is now, imagine in the most grossness of Brazil, the most grossness in the center of it. They have this, I don't want to say soup kitchen because it's just such a bad thing to...
It's a facility that feeds, like what, 1,500
meals a day? 1,500
meals a day.
Jews?
Yeah. A lot.
And non-Jews. Both
Jews and non-Jews.
And not only that, it's also a place for people to come. And they travel sometimes 2 hours to get there.
By bus.
And they stay there the whole day and they... have people who sit with them and talk to them. So it's not just like, here's your meal, eat it and beat it. It's here's
eat
your meal.
Eat it and beat it.
eat it and beat it. It was like someone sits there and listens to these people who are telling the same stories that they've been telling for years and years, and they're pretending it's the first time they're hearing it, and it's so beautiful.
No,
and
it was a beautiful facility. It was like impressive. It was
what's
worth
it,
going.
What's it called?
Ten
Yad.
Yad. Give
ten
hand.
Yad. Give hand. Head. Give
hand.
Wow.
What have you been up to since our last podcast?
I missed you guys.
No, but then you did a show for 700 Jews, most of whom spoke English.
Most of whom spoke English.
On a good
and
day.
And I wouldn't say spoke really good English. I was sweating it out. I was acting out everything. And then I figured, you know, I don't want to do any material that I've done online because they've already seen it. But then I realized that's the only material they're going to get.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they've already seen it and like learned it. And you know,
they don't
learned
care.
It.
Like it's Talmud.
Like it's Talmud. So they knew that. And then, but first of all, you're sitting in front of 700 of the wealthiest Jews in Sao Paulo. And you're looking out into the audience. And there's no necklaces and no earrings and no fancy watches and no... And I'm used to performing where, you know, you can get blinded by the diamonds, the light hitting the diamonds, like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
Van Cleef and Rolex and Audemars Piguet and Cartier.
It was more subdued.
People were...
You you can't walk around killed.
Walk around in Brazil.
It was told, it was obvious once we got there, but it was really crazy.
This amazing couple energy. Gave us a ride home, and like in this bulletproof car,
that's
it was
a
Jeep.
It was a normal looking Jeep, but when you open the door, it was like made out of a bank vault.
The tires are bulletproof.
Yeah, because they come up to you at the red light and shoot your tires out, apparently.
Are you fucking... Are you serious?
I'm not kidding you.
We were like, we need to get out of this country
fast.
I actually clocked that you don't have your Rolex on.
Bodhi was so upset he couldn't wear his Rolex in Brazil.
I like my
did you bring it to...
Yeah, because I was going to Israel afterwards, where you can wear your watch or do whatever the hell you want to do whenever you want.
Yeah.
Israel's the vibe. Israel was amazing. I loved
so
Israel.
So we flew from Sao Paulo to Frankfurt to Tel Aviv, which I do not recommend that journey to anyone.
Unless you have to. There was no other way. The other way is Turkey, and this is the best flight. So you fly in business class to Frankfurt, where it goes flat underneath, and it's like said United, but it was
operated by LATAM.
LATAM.
What is...
Yeah.
Latin American Airlines, which, by the way, I thought they were fine.
Was fine.
It was
Why
fine.
Is Latin American Airlines flying from San...
LATAM, but whatever it is.
Paulo to Frankfurt.
At Frankfurt. From Frankfurt, we get on Lufthansa to go to Israel in a business class seat, but business class on that is just... They leave a seat in the middle empty. It's like a long flight.
Call,
like a stretcher. Like a hospital stretcher in clipped in half, and that's what the seat's like.
Okay.
And you have 4 hours to fly in that. It's miserable.
4 hours?
But I want to discuss something else that happened in Sao Paulo.
What?
Leo, who speaks Spanish fluently.
I don't. That's false information.
He speaks fluent Spanish. It's incredible to listen. And his grandparents and his dad speak Spanish. And he never busts it out. And we always struggle because he doesn't help out with the Spanish. All of a sudden, we're walking around Sao Paulo. He had some app and he was speaking fluent Portuguese. I was in shock.
My last name is Portuguese.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Portuguese. You were speaking just like gallivanting.
Portuguese is just drunk Spanish.
It's a totally different language.
He's telling the Uber driver, like, I'm like, what are you saying to him? I told him I'm going to give the tip on the that I already put the tip on. I'm like, what? I'm in the supermarket asking him, ask the guy for the dish soap, and he doesn't say a word. Unbelievable. Out of nowhere, Portuguese.
Amazing.
We did find
obrigado.
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 Were you really like...
It sounds a little bit like Yiddish.
It does.
I know. It's not a great sounding language, Portuguese.
So my grandparents live in a town in Spain, but on a river, and on the other side of the river was Portugal.
Why do you come up with these insane stories out of nowhere that I've never...
So that's how I know Portuguese, because...
Yeah, and 7 years, and I never knew. He's busting it out with the Uber driver. I never in America, he hasn't spoken to an Uber driver in his life. I always, how you doing? It's a new car. How many miles you got on it? And he's sitting there. I don't know.
I was scared for our safety. I needed camaraderie.
You got to be kidding me.
Anyway. Oh.
So he's that was Brazil.
That was Brazil.
Did anything else? I mean, besides you performing for like 600 or 700 people
who did not speak English?
What do they speak? Portuguese?
Oh my God! Wait! Something else. Oh, so again, when I perform not sometimes in theaters and not in a comedy club, in places where
galas.
So you're doing comedy where it's not meant to be done.
Yeah.
And you never know what. Of course, sound and lighting is. You're on Spilkes until you
Spilkes hear is the for the kids at home.
You're on pins and needles.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Pins and anybody watching this knows that.
No, I speak for the people.
Anyway,
we're branching. Out.
You never know what could go wrong. You just never know what. But sound and light is that's okay. So then, the people who put the stage together had this whim of genius. Hey, let's put plants in front that are 3 feet tall. So the view of anybody on stage is right at their nuts and above. I said, this is not okay.
Just like how we had to move furniture before we started recording today, we had to redo the stage before the performance.
Okay.
I said, get whoever's dealing with the flowers and cut this out.
Yeah.
You can't have...
And that flipped you out.
Me?
No, yeah. You knew it was right.
I knew it wasn't right, but I didn't think it was like a code red. Like, we need to.
I've been to a couple of code reds with you guys now.
Up to here.
What's code red? What code reds have you been to?
That he walks in the room. I'm on his side for this. That he walks in the room and you're like, this is not going to work.
That is hardly a code red. This is a code red. This what you're the synagogue gig downstairs with
you were
with
like
one
this
light.
Is not going to work, and then they have to fix it, and they fix it,
and they right, and it's usually,
which is reasonable, which is,
yeah, and it's smart.
Nobody does know when it's going to work.
I know.
You know,
over 25 years of doing this, I know what works. I've never thought I'd be working in front of plants.
Funny because at one point Modi's like, you know, there's like caterers or people running around getting ready for the evening, and Modi's like, this is not going to work, and the rabbi goes, tell him it's going to work, and I'm just standing in the back like,
because you know the, and it wasn't anything. The speakers that came up that you they're up to it's so crazy that they even thought of that,
yeah,
but they fixed
like
it.
They fixed it, not like in America. Like if you'd have gotten an American pilot plan, you know, chop it down, bring it down, bring the okay. This was they actually built the thing for the plant, so oh, you already lost a foot, and then the plant's inside, but then they cleared out of the center part. It was you just ask, hey, the stage that you're performing on,
right.
Is it okay if we build a hedge in front of you?
A mechitza,
mechitza between me and the audience.
Oh, my
literally,
God.
That's what it was. Anyway.
That's a
mechitza. But it was amazing. We got out of there. We landed in Israel.
And we were there for 7 years.
And we were
in Israel for so long.
We did a semester in Israel.
I kept preferring it to like, this is the best study abroad I've ever done. We were there for what felt like a very long time, but it
that's
was just
what you
2 weeks.
Wanted. That's what you wanted.
No, I
you
did.
Said I want a micro routine.
That's how I like to travel.
Okay.
I like to forget that I don't live there for a second.
I right. love that. Me too.
That's like my methodology of travel.
So we had an apartment. We took this amazing Airbnb. Bravo again. Leo's always nailed it on Airbnbs.
I'd have a skill. I have not left a review for that Airbnb yet, and they keep telling me to, but I'm still thinking about it.
It wasn't horrible.
Okay.
Oh, it wasn't great?
It was good.
No, there was like...
easy.
There were issues.
The power went out at one point.
Location out of
where?
Out of a movie.
Yeah, the location was incredible.
Wow. Where?
Yonah Hanavi
and Hayarkon.
Like so a block from the
block
right,
from the yeah, beach yeah. from the best beach thing. The,
which you, which beach?
Whatever the beach is right there. It's in front of the new
Don Hotel?
Kempinski, the new Kempinski Hotel.
Okay.
Which is the worst, but that's we'll save that.
Which is not the worst. It's they're getting there. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it's the location was amazing. 5 bedrooms. Everybody had a shower. Our friends came in. Everybody had a shower, but they had to share a toilet. We had a toilet and a shower.
Okay.
There was a toilet up in the deck. It was huge deck okay. spaces, beautiful views. It was amazing. One night, we lost electricity for
a little bit.
About an hour. And Leo went into panic. Not panic, but problem solving mode.
Panic. First of all, I removed myself from the group. Got on the phone with Airbnb support and had multiple options in front of us should the event arise that the power didn't come back that evening. Because
100%.
It was not only the power, it was the water was off. That
right,
also
in
was
Israel, like, when there's no power, there's no yeah, water. Yeah.
So I was like, we have a bunch of people in this apartment who can't like flush a toilet or take a shower. Like, we can't stay here tonight if this doesn't come back in a right. few hours. So don't say I panicked.
It wasn't panic. We went into problem solving mode.
Immediately.
I don't yeah. get any
but,
credit.
But here's where it was.
You get a lot of credit.
We had just come back from the beach. We picked up some bubbly wine. Uh-huh. And everybody's just like, ah. And then this happened. And everybody's just like, okay, let's just finish. You said, I'm antsy. I can't sit here. And everybody just sat down. But Leo is a problem solver. And so he needed to be on top. And he was. He was ready but... I called up my friends.
We were about to get refunded for the remaining part of our trip and offered it to be checked into a hotel. So just
okay, but it was really nice that we didn't have to do that.
Yeah, and then the power went,
was nice
and came back on.
Yeah,
that doesn't really happen
it
that often.
Does
in Israel.
Happen in Israel? I called up my friends in Israel. And they're like, yeah, it's either a half hour or a few hours. You'll get your power back.
Anyway,
it was the whole block.
We were in Israel because you did 2 shows for United Hatzalah.
We were in Israel because you had a birthday,
yeah,
and wait. You wanted to be in Israel yes. for your birthday.
But you did.
Let's just. But then, out
United
of nowhere, Yesh Mia'en, right?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, something came out, and we booked an amazing 2 shows in Israel. The first one in Ranana.
No, but there was a plot twist with the first one. I'll let you handle it from here. Did I panic for that either, by the way?
420 people sold out in Ra'anana, which is the Great Neck of, which is Great Neck, which is Americans that moved to Israel. This is where they live. Everything's in English. And the day of the show at 2:30, we get a phone call that the theater, the sprinklers were not up to code with the fire department, so they had to move it.
Well, the sprinklers had gone off or something. Something happened with
the town next over that's called Kfar Saba.
Okay.
And so luckily it's Hatzalah, so they have a million volunteers. But these two women called everybody, and it was the most flawless change of venue I've ever seen in my life.
That's impressive.
I was blown away, and the show went on, and the theater was gorgeous. We're getting the film from that now, and it was amazing. Now we were traveling. Here's what's really funny: United Hatzalah always has a campaign.
Okay.
You know, they mopeds, motorcycles, bicycles, whatever their thing is, to function in Israel to get to people who need help. It's not like America. If you just an ambulance the size of an 18-wheeler. And now this campaign was for EpiPens.
Okay.
Which was a gag because...
We were traveling with my dear friend Lucas, who has a life-threatening allergy to sesame seeds. And
No.
And we were in Israel, where I don't know if you know, the water comes with sesame seeds in it.
Yeah.
So everywhere we went, we were like, lo sum sum.
No sum-sum.
What I learned means sesame.
And every... So I'm always translating. I'm like, to every waitress, I'm like... The kitchen isn't sterile, but there's no man not be sum sum, you know?
And he had an EpiPen in his pocket the whole time. He was like, well, this is
I mean, trained us with this EpiPen.
Trina.
And what's the funniest thing was the Hatzalah, the United Hatzalah's campaign was for EpiPens.
That's really funny.
And I called him out. He came to the show in Tel Aviv, and it was just... So funny that was
no, but navigating Tel Aviv with a friend who's allergic to sesame
is insane,
is hilarious, and makes you have some really funny interactions with waiters and
was
waitresses.
He freaking out?
No,
he was very calm. We were all calm, and there was we did it. He's alive, and
we were there with three guys that were not Jewish.
Oh so wow!
Two of them had never been there, and now our friend Tila Falik. Who, shout out to her, I love her.
Tila has an open invite to come on the podcast.
Tila, you're welcome on this podcast whenever you want. Anyway, she was in Tel Aviv. We meet up with her. Her family is partnered in this, one of the number one wineries in Israel,
located
in the West Bank. Yeah. Judea.
Okay.
Judea.
I saw that on Instagram and I started getting very nervous. I spoke to you and I was like, where are you?
And I was like, I think we're in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
So they pick us up and the boys are so excited.
That was their favorite part of the trip.
That was
us driving through the West Bank. Like,
we went to the Dead Sea, and let me tell anybody listening that there's no need to go to the Dead Sea.
I never need to go to the Dead Sea.
Ever.
But the wine tasting in the West Bank was definitely a memory for
driving
me.
Through, you know, you're going through checkpoints and there's like crazy barbed wires and there's all these signs. The signs that are literally in Hebrew, English, and Arabic saying, if you are here, you've made a mistake.
Yeah.
I would have turned around.
And went to get into this like place, this community where the wine tasting thing was, there's like a guy with a machine gun, like in a gate, like. And my friends were just like eating it up. They were like, this is amazing.
What is going on?
It's called Pesgod. They put money into this thing. It's the most gorgeous place.
They were very hospitable. Thank you very much.
They made a big lunch for us and they have a movie about the place and the field and the story and the history of where King Saul went through and all of these places. And you're sitting and you're seeing Arab villages and Jewish villages.
That part's nice.
It's so nice.
Yeah, that's
it's beautiful.
Really nice.
And how the earth is rooted. It looks like dry desert stone, but underneath is where these grapes grow, and it's unbelievable. And you're in what everything's the West Bank. Oh, it's firing on, they're gonna shoot us, but it's so calm and so beautiful. And the Arab villages are nice and beautiful, and the Jewish ones are on, they're all right there. And just there's conflict once in a while. there's just conflict once in a while. And but it, for them to see it, I think it's more important that non-Jews see that than Jews.
I was going to say that. That's really a beautiful thing. It really is. It's important to take people who have never been to Israel, especially people who aren't Jewish, to see that. Because I think people have a very sort of misguided idea of what's going on there.
100%. Yeah.
You had mentioned that you found Mashiach in Brazil.
No, so I'm telling you that, yes, Mashiach
Where
is in
was
Brazil.
He?
It's in that place called Ten Yad.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 100% Mashiach. In the middle of the poorest of the poor neighborhoods, there's this building where people are just, there's Mashiach energy in there. You just feel it.
And
amazing.
In Israel also?
Israel was nonstop simchas.
It was
love that.
We landed into a beautiful bar mitzvah that was a multi-day curated, beautifully choreographed.
Whose bar mitzvah was it?
It was so funny. When Leo hits Yiddish right, it is the funniest thing in the world.
It's like my Portuguese, honestly.
It's literally out of nowhere.
Fluent, low-key fluent in Yiddish, probably.
No, he is. No, he nails the words. We're in the synagogue. Okay, so there's a hotel where we stayed for the bar mitzvah.
Whose bar mitzvah was it?
My cousin's son.
Okay.
What was the name of the hotel? Iliad?
Doesn't matter.
Unless they're paying us, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. This cute little hotel. They took the hotel, and they had their family and friends, and the food, and everything was there. And around, it's in Neve Tzedek, and around the corner is a synagogue. Adorable synagogue. Uh-huh.
Really cute.
Really cute, vibey. The women do parts of the service. The men do.
Oh.
Super cute and super.
Perils in.
But still, like, run like an Orthodox thing. It wasn't separate seating, right?
No.
No. It was, everybody's was fine. And there's a nice standard place for the cantor to daven. And the guy's giving out the aliyot, the honors, you know, the Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. And he goes to give me Hagba. Hagba to lift the Torah. I go, are you kidding? I'm an uncle that flew in from Israel? Hagba? I said, I'm doing Musaf. Right? What? And I turned to Yiddish. I turned to Leo and I go in Yiddish. What's the gehelt? Hagba for me. Leo goes, ah, chutzpah. He goes, ah, chutzpah. It was so funny. I did Musaf. I davened for Musaf.
What is that?
Musaf is the second service, like that you the additional Musaf, Lehosif.
Okay. What's wrong with carrying the Torah?
But it's okay. It's a great honor, but I'm there. I'm going to daven. I'm going to lead the service.
It was okay.
It was so cute. It was a great, and then we went to our own symbol.
It was a multi-day
event.
Then
Dina was there.
Yeah. I saw that.
Then
I saw Dina.
Dina came and had an amazing birthday party in Israel.
It was so
beautiful.
Good
dinner with like a bunch of people.
It was Dina's birthday.
I wish you could remember the name of the hotel that was in.
The Drek. Oh, it doesn't matter.
It was so cute. Israel is so, Tel Aviv is so amazing. And it's always developing and growing. And we were so lucky because they're building a subway. But our hotel and the Kempinski Hotel where we stayed in, and our Airbnb, the hotel, and everything was right in this one section by the beach, not where all the subway building was going on.
So have we spoken, have we had a podcast since I got back from Israel too? You and I had one.
You guys
and
were
I
had, together. Yeah. You had a crazy incident when I was listening about you. One of your shows was like canceled, no?
Oh yeah, because of the war or the missiles. Operation, they called it. The thing about Israel that-
The war. Just called the war.
I mean, if I was in a bomb shelter, it was a war.
Yeah.
Okay. When you say the war, you better be meaning World War One, Two, or like, you having to cancel a set to go sit in a bomb shelter is not a war.
It was a war.
The war.
It was a war.
It was an incident.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, it's very
during
Israeli.
The war, the 2022 war that you were there for. Okay.
Is that Israel is so wild because it's so many things at once. Like it always blows me away. And I've been going my whole life and it's just insane. It's like so modern and cutting edge. And it's like totally primitive.
Yeah. Primitive.
Like a third world country.
It's insane.
And I don't know.
The juxtaposition of everything is very alluring. There's something very magnetic in this like dusty, glittering,
totally,
like,
and it's so alive,
it's very
and like
seductive.
Sexy, and then everybody's insane and screaming,
yeah,
but very loving and warm,
right. And we went to a dance event, Pug.
Pug. Yeah.
Pug. It was like, and people were dancing. I go, you know, they're dancing because they know that bombs could start coming over. It's right. Like there's another energy there. Like, yeah. You know, you just can't take things for granted there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Israel is so amazing.
Every single meal we had there was like,
I know.
Our friend Lucas had a list of restaurants in Tel Aviv. And they were all tens.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. You could pick up like a piece of food from the floor there.
It's really,
it's delicious.
Absurd.
Yeah.
Wait, so Dina had a birthday, but somebody else had a very special birthday also.
It was Dina's birthday, then it was my birthday.
It was your birthday? How old did you turn?
And then it was the birthday 29. Of mankind, Rosh Hashanah. Then it was the birthday of mankind, Rosh Hashanah. But yes, Leo turned.
I turned 30 in Israel.
Yes.
That is pretty big.
It's your second time having a birthday in Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I turned 24 in Israel, 25 in Israel.
And you got a tattoo, not in Israel. You didn't get it.
You'll have to subscribe to the OnlyFans for that content. That's not on the podcast.
There's no OnlyFans. And,
not yet.
It's on Patreon.
But it was incredible to see Israel through non-Jewish people's eyes.
Yeah.
That was the most amazing thing.
Now,
you know, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? Do you feel Israeli when you're in Israel, or do you feel like a New Yorker who speaks like perfect Hebrew?
In and out. You feel it and you don't feel it. Listen, there's things that are going on there when they're having a conversation about certain things in politics, and I have no idea what they're talking about. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Right,
or when they're discussing some issue happening in Israel regarding cars and the new highway, I'm a tourist.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, but I've been to Israel 3 times now, and they would not. Those experiences would not be as magical as they were if I didn't have a Hebrew speaking. If I didn't have you with me, like to navigate all of that, I don't know if I would have liked it as much, honestly, because it's
no. But you saw Israel from an Israeli point of view. You didn't. You weren't a tourist. You
yeah. But this trip was special because you're right. We were there with 3 non-Jews who had 2 of which had never been to Israel. One had been to Israel, but like 10 years ago.
And we took a tour guide in Jerusalem to show. They were, I don't want to just see Jewish things. I'm like, don't worry about it. I got you. I took a tour guide. These are things I would never do in my life. I'd never go to the Dead Sea. It's so gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
And the
right?
nicest hotels there.
Have a burn-up
the book. Nicest. The nicest hotels there are gross. It was so funny because we did the tour underneath the Kotel, under the Western Wall. There's a tour you do, before you do the tour, they show you how Jerusalem was built. Har HaMoria, which is the Temple Mount, is the first place in the world that was created, and that's where the center of humanity began and all that stuff and whatever the story is. He goes, and then they start building Jerusalem around. They goes, and King Herod came and built this. I go, he was really great at building cities and walls. I go, you know what he wasn't great at? Building a hotel by the Dead Sea. Herod's by the Dead Sea is so gross. And it's supposed to be the nice one.
Right.
But we took it. I did it just for them. Next time I go to Israel and we have guests, they're going to go alone to the Dead Sea.
Why is it so disgusting?
It's not because you want it.
It's just not worth the schlep.
Give it to you. Give it to me. Let me have a... First of all, you can't book it unless you're...
I know you said that it's a nightmare to book a hotel.
No lunch, yes lunch. Whatever, here, lady, I'll pay you. Give it to us.
No, we had
it was
to,
not.
It was hard to make a reservation.
Ew.
Again, if we
you get in the sea.
Is the water...
The water is the Dead Sea.
It's slimy.
Slimy water that you float.
I haven't been Instagram there in years.
There's no need. But then you go to the hotel so you can do the same water indoors without the sun beating on you.
Okay.
You do a mud treatment. We all had massages for everybody. It wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't. So it's just whatever. It's not needed to go
and
there.
You can't go there. Like if you shave your legs or your bikini line, no. For example.
I had a tiny little blister on my toe because I was wearing new sandals. Like tiny, not painful.
Yeah.
I went to the Dead Sea. It just like blew up.
Yeah, no. It's an immediate
But
no.
You would think the salt is like a healing thing. But it...
All right. I feel like not so bad that I missed
it. No, there's no need to go. We did it because we had guests.
Did they like it?
They enjoyed it. They understand that there's no need. They got the fact that there's no need to go back there again. But
I think the best time they had in the whole trip was driving through the West Bank.
Yeah. And so there was a whole thing that they wanted to see Masada. I'm like, that's it.
Right.
That's it. Like, we are not going up to see Masada. That you do when you're on a teen tour when you're 18 years old.
And you ride a camel.
And you do the whole we are not doing Masada. In that blazing hot to see a wrecked town.
Right.
Amazing story and all of that, but that's what you do when you're 18.
So, yeah. Do you know what also happened while we were in Israel? The queen, they finally put her in the ground.
Yes.
How long did that take?
Shine. They, okay. And so you're... The queen was buried like on a Monday. You had a show that Wednesday in Tel Aviv.
Something like that, yeah.
Monday you had the show in Renana that was moved to whatever town it was moved to. And then Wednesday you had the show in Tel Aviv. So you had these shows right off the heels of the queen being buried. And I feel like it's worth mentioning because it was a historic event. And you briefly mentioned it in your show in a way that I thought was very funny, related to your shiva bit.
I have my shiva bit about how Jews are buried right away, within 24 hours. And I said, the queen, they schlepped her around. they threw a blanket over her and dragged
her
around.
You said.
And they get every city. They get, we're going to Windsor and Buckingham and Sussex and Essex and Delancey and Pittsburgh and New Jersey. Like it was like an Amazon package being tracked. And then we took the clip and we put it online and people had what to say.
Oh my
God.
What? She was a sovereign. She was our sovereign for 7 decades. Are you insane?
First of all, she was married to a Nazi. Let's clarify that. But the Windsors are not nice people. Yeah. I'm willing to, you can all fight me on this. Yeah. And so someone commented, this is disrespectful to the queen.
Oh my God.
How dare
God.
You say something like
Kishin
that? And I commented back, I said, she was literally married to a Nazi, but okay. I don't know what history book you're reading, but she wasn't married to a Nazi and I'm a loyal subject. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
The minute someone refers to themselves as a loyal subject, I'm like, you're sick in the head. The fact that there's a monarchy and a royal family in the year of our Lord 2022 is sick and absurd and weird.
So again, I always see as things, what's the light? What's Mashiach in this? Mm-hmm. The reason that there was a monarchy, the reason that there was King Louis and King George and King VIII and the King IX and Elizabeth and all of them, the whole thing was for one reason.
Why?
The Netflix show The Crown.
The only thing that puts Modi to bed at night now
is so that we during COVID could watch The Crown. We had what to look forward to the next season. It's the most beautifully shot show in the world.
I haven't seen it.
Are you insane?
Oh, wow, Perry.
It is amazing. The whole monarchy was created just so Netflix could have The Crown.
So I actually feel so strongly about this that I'm so taken aback by people's lack of ability to see through a joke that what you were saying actually wasn't meant to be disrespectful to the queen, even though you did refer to her as a bitch.
I didn't refer to her as a bitch. I said that
as Meghan Markle's point of view, which is funny.
Yeah, but that was the other thing.
They were walking behind her like this, and at the same pace as the horses that were dragging her. So they were all in a mini gallop behind this hearse.
The outfits.
Could you imagine the conversations happening there? Could you imagine Henry, that was the one that would move to LA?
Harry,
imagine Harry and what's his name? The one that's
William.
William.
You know, he says to William, look at you. Look at they dressed you up like a doorman. And Harry's dressed like he's doing a piano recital.
Okay.
The military.
The
two wives. Listen to this. I think that the two wives, Kate knew this was happening, so she lost a lot of weight.
Amazing.
She killed it. She's bone thin, right? And Megan's been hanging out with Oprah.
Right.
So she's much healthier.
You leave Megan alone.
Yeah, no, but and they didn't get the jewelry. That was also... Everybody's walking around with a new piece of jewelry.
Yes.
You saw that?
Yes.
So people had what to say about that.
Camilla's walking around with a coffee table out of diamonds. A full coffee table this big. I'm telling you, if the sun hit that right, you could start a fire. And then Kate's necklace was one of the most gorgeous things I've ever seen. And Megan... It looks like nothing.
Megan got nothing. And then you said, Megan got nothing. And then in the comments, everyone's like, she got a pair of earrings. Do your research.
Oh, my.
Nebuch earrings.
Get a life. Get a life.
These like little things. Wow.
Okay, so I do want to point out that this Instagram user, Super Sovak, is the only one who understood the joke and distilled it in a way that I like. And I feel like it's worth reading. To all those accusations of, quote, disrespect, you're obviously not getting the joke. The cultural gap is so deep that it has swallowed up the irony that the customs enshrined in a royal burial would seem to many a culture utterly disrespectful to the dead. Which I thought was really interesting.
What a way to kill a joke.
Right?
No, because the fact that everyone just couldn't see through the joke that you were making about, you know, the fact that they were dragging her around for so long, and it wasn't really about that, that...
It was. I'm comparing it to Jewish funerals, where it happens.
People just got
hours.
Mad that you were talking about the queen being dead.
No, it's insane.
I'm like, she was 96 years old.
96.
And anyone who like rushes to the defense of like the royal family online as a, quote, using their words, loyal subject, you need to see a doctor.
Agreed.
Loyal subject. Have you lost your mind? I'm telling you that the entire monarchy was built
about you.
Just for the show The Crown on Netflix. Only reason ever that monarchy was put on earth.
Okay.
For that
Now my feelings about the monarchy are established on the podcast, and I can fight people in the comments about it.
And are you seconding that this show is
The
epic?
Crown is beautiful.
Okay.
The Crown is a beautiful show.
One of the
show.
Most beautiful shows you can
and have. And the next season is going to have Diana in it.
I can't wait. I'm like,
wow, you guys are all in.
Yep.
I was thinking about watching Dahmer, but maybe I'll watch it.
Okay, do you want to talk about this?
Do you want to talk about this?
I told you I came ready to talk today because I've had a long day. But we haven't even discussed this. The new series on Netflix about Jeffrey Dahmer.
I've seen parts that I haven't not delved into it.
I think it's messed up that we're, in general, I mean, this is not the first in this genre of making entertainment about serial killers.
No, it's certainly not.
It's not new, but something feels particularly wrong about this piece. I saw I didn't watch the show because I don't want to. I don't like watching that type of stuff, especially if it's based on true events. I feel like it's a little, talk about disrespect. I feel like these people who were murdered, it's a little disrespectful. But I saw side-by-side footage of the sister testifying in court versus how they portrayed it in the series. And it is a word for word almost recreation.
I read about
that Fox show we watched.
Down to the t-shirt she's wearing. They recreated all these details, and they spoke to the families. They said they didn't ask us this being made. I didn't know that they were going to be, you know, portraying us to this exact detail.
Right.
Have you watched it? It's gross to me.
I know a lot about Jeffrey Dahmer and serial killers in general.
No, you dated him? What?
No, I didn't date him. I wasn't his type. He liked boys. But I mean, I think that the fucked up thing about Jeffrey Dahmer is that the reason why he was able to get away with what he did was that he mostly killed young black men, mm-hmm. and the police were racist and they didn't look for them because they didn't care, and it was really fucked up. So that's the part that I find particularly disturbing. There were multiple phone calls. It was like little white girls he was, you know, murdering and having sex with their corpses.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's what he was doing.
I know, but we don't.
But nobody cared. I think that we've been making entertainment about this since the beginning of time. I mean, JonBenet Ramsey, right. Ted Bundy.
Mendez brothers.
Yeah, I mean, every single thing. So that's the part that is particularly creepy to me.
I just think it's weird that people, you know what? I have free time now. Do you know what I want to do? I want to watch an hour of factual information of how people were killed in the most horrific way.
Law and Order SVU.
Imagine.
Yeah, Law and Order.
Yeah, but that's less about the I don't watch Law and Order SVU. But
no, I think it's all part. I mean, there have been movies.
Something feels particularly weird about the new Jeffrey Dahmer.
Don't have to watch it. I'm okay not watching it.
But
I'm not going to watch it because I try to keep that energy away. Yeah. I don't watch that
energy
stuff
to bring in the house.
Well, I was pregnant, once that. I got pregnant, I stopped watching this stuff.
I always say that. No, I never have the news on in the house. Never put CNN or Fox should never be on your TV. yeah. busting
no,
out.
No, no, I'm with you.
With those horrible commercials about every disease in the world.
I'm 100% with you. In Israel, they have that, by the way, which makes me insane.
What,
every single household in Israel has the news blaring.
Oh, we didn't do that.
It's not good. It's not good for your brain.
I agree.
It's horrible.
I agree. Okay.
So it's Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
And the new year. And it was... We ended the year with such an amazing 2 weeks and just...
It was really a crazy 2 weeks.
And now we're going into an amazing year coming up with shows everywhere and people booking and calling and Australia and London and all of the stuff. It's so good. It's
really exciting. Yeah.
Australia's going to happen. They just have to pull it together. Some organization. Australia is looking to bring me in, but like it's got to be done right, and London too. And it's an amazing year ahead of us. And
okay, let's talk about the shows that are finalized and actually happening.
Yes, we have.
What did I have ticket links for? Like,
MotiLive.com.
No, we're not done. We have plenty of time. We don't have to do the.
No,
the
how long have you been? How long have we been out for?
41 minutes.
Oh,
this guy's
good. I like that.
All right.
You can't plug it in the middle though. It's.
Yeah, that's cool.
No, so so the next, well, you're going to be in Scarsdale, but those shows are small and sold out.
And sold
but
out, yeah.
You're going to be at the Miami Improv on October 23rd, and I'll let you tell the story.
Tell.
No, it's better coming from you.
We added a show. Usually when you book shows, you book like a 7 o'clock so you can add a 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
We booked an 8 o'clock show.
Yeah.
And then we're adding a show, a 5 o'clock.
Wow.
A matinee.
Where?
Not an early bird.
A Miami matinee moment.
A Miami matinee moment. Yes. MMM. So it's not an early bird. It's a matinee show. And it's already almost sold out. And there's people like, wait, we could have counted 5 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock? And it's not old people either. It's young people who want to go to dinner after.
Oh, okay.
So it's Miami's the best. Florida's amazing. Poor things, they're going through it right now.
Yeah,
no, I hope the club's still there.
But they're
oh my God.
No, that's the other coast. And then you're going to be in LA on November 17th, I believe, again
the
for
Laugh
two
Factory.
Shows. And then you're really not performing again in the New York area. Until your big Christmas
show. The big Christmas show.
And people, if you're listening to this and you're always like, I want to see Modi, but you know, this is when you need to see Modi is at your holiday show on December 24th and December 25th.
Holidayed show on the 24th and 25th at
Sony Hall.
ModiLive.com for all the tickets. And it's get the tickets for the Sony Hall. It's going to be a lot of fun. Eric Newman will be on, and I think. I might bring somebody else.
Those are always my favorite show. I've gone with you to hundreds of your shows.
Yeah.
Your holiday shows are consistently your best shows. And this year, it's at a new venue, bigger venue, bigger, better. It's going to be.
Yes.
So if you're not coming to these shows, you're going to.
You're going
to
miss out.
And I know I'm going to get messages on December 23rd being like, where can I get tickets?
Oh, it's already all the shows that it's so funny how people. What someone wrote us that they have cancer.
Oh God! The messages you get.
Don't tell
really
us if you have cancer.
No.
I'm kidding.
But it was like this some sold out show. This woman writes a whole horrible story.
That was actually a sweet story.
I know, but there's nothing we can do. The show sold out.
Oh, we're not talking about the same person.
Okay, never mind.
How many people have cancer?
A lot of
someone reached out. Someone sent you a sweet message on Instagram that was like, "Hey, I'm coming to this Scarsdale show, but I know masks aren't required, I'm sick and I need to wear a mask, and my husband wears a mask." No, she's like, "I'm gonna come. I'm fine with coming. I'm okay with coming." She goes, "Just please don't make fun of me because I've been out in public before and people are making fun of me."
Oh,
but somebody tried to get tickets to a show and they used like.
No, but don't come if you have to wear a mask.
If
you're immunocompromised, don't come to it.
She can make the personal decision to come, but wear a mask. And she was like trying to be like, "Hey, could you just not mention it?" Because she wants it. Oh, this was a key part of the story. She's hearing impaired, so she needs to sit close to the stage.
Okay, enough.
I thought it was sweet, and I forwarded the message to Modi, but. Don't send me your Make-A-Wish Foundation sob story to get tickets to a show.
Oh, my God. Like, he's getting brutal. He's
brutal. He's like, has really? Lost all patience.
He's out.
I've lost. I'm ready to fight people. I don't know.
I have to tell you something. I got a message from somebody who said, did you get the gifts I sent you guys?
Oh my God. We
and
did.
I was like, did you send them?
What are they?
Wait, you have
the
to hear.
The napkin ring.
Yes. I was like,
wait,
I was like,
mention are this. You,
I forgot to. Hi. Hope you got my Shana Tova gifts I sent you. This is she sending to me, wishing you a happy and healthy new year. Sent the gifts to Modi's address.
How did she get the
and
address?
I said, hi, thanks so much. I'm not sure like what it is. Let me know.
I'm
and
so
I'll
happy you have who to reach.
And she said, napkin rings with a picture. I'm guessing you didn't get them.
Got
and
it.
I said, I didn't get them, but maybe Modi did. We don't live together yet.
Oh, my God. Wait, how did she get the address is what I want
to
know.
I think you asked me for the address to give
to
her.
No, absolutely not. And I would never, she sent them from Australia.
Bodhi would give our address to Jeffrey Dahmer if he was offering to send free things.
That's not true.
So wait.
We got this big box.
This is from Rivka Josephsberg from Australia, and I would like clarification if these are for you or for me.
Oh,
that's
you should
what
ask
I
want
to know. So, Rivka, if you're listening,
I was going to give it to you. They're stunning.
They're really cute.
You were going to give them to who?
Bumblebees.
Don't.
Do you want them? Are you ever going to make a meal and put bumblebee ring and napkin
we'll give
rings?
You the napkin
you
rings.
Mean these?
Yes, they're stunning.
They're really cute. Yeah.
Well, we have Rivka has to clarify because.
So tell Rivka who they're for.
I just did. I'm sure she's listening.
If you'd like, I'll give them to you if you really want them.
Not if they're free.
I'll give them to you as long as we can.
No.
I can't see you making a meal.
No, as long as Guy makes a meal for us and on the table or the napkin.
It's so Dina and her daughters that it's so.
No, if they're for me, I want them. If they're for you guys,
if anyone else wants to send free stuff, feel free. I'll
just make sure who it's for. But I'll be happy to if they're for you, by all means. And they're beautiful, and they're stunning, and they're like a piece of art.
Good,
they're so beautiful.
And for the record, I pimp out a holiday table.
Okay, then they're yours, 100%.
No, I don't know if they're mine. They might be yours. Rivka's going
to
clarify.
So Rivka's going to have to clarify that. TBD.
Wow, we're ending on a cliffhanger. Who are the napkin rings for?
To be continued.
Is that it?
I
wish we had more time because...
What? Tell me, what's on your mind?
I'm feeling combative. I think...
about what?
Nothing about you or anything. I just... The world at large. As your Instagram following has gotten bigger,
Hashem.
The messages I have been getting, because they all come to my phone, folks, have just gotten more and more absurd and stupid.
People are just stupid
and dumb and easily offended by things online. And it's a little disheartening. Just like...
No, but I think it's so little compared to the nice ones.
Oh, yeah. But then you just get one person and I'm like, don't look at it. It's like no one's forcing you to consume.
No, it's enraging.
I did, we were in the moment. We were in Israel. I was by the pool. I mean... A bathing suit and his button-down shirt with like the buttons open. I just go to Leo. I just want to say good shout-out to all my fans, and I said it in Yiddish and in Hebrew, and it was cute. And someone wrote, "How about being a little sneeze and buttoning up your shirt and having some pride,
stuff like that."
Again, it brings us back to: are you bringing Mashiach or are you preventing Mashiach from coming?
So on that note,
he's preventing Mashiach from coming.
Someone commented on a video from the podcast of you talking about Mashiach saying, you can't sit here talking about bringing Mashiach when you don't wear a kippah.
Oh my God.
Judgy Judstein.
Yeah, that's
get
not
out of here.
No, they don't understand what Mashiach is. That's not the energy. Ten yad.
Yeah, that's energy.
Mashiach energy.
Respect to Ten Yad.
Walking with a yarmulke so you can say to somebody else, you don't wear a yarmulke, I wear a yarmulke. That's not Mashiach energy. That's not Mashiach energy.
You go in the same category as the loyal subject.
You know, it was funny because we were staying in Israel and we went to the West Bank and that sign, it's, if you've come to this point, you've made a mistake.
It was like, think about it.
It's like, think.
Maybe think about it.
No. But it's like, yes, you've come to a border, but it's like, this point that we have to have these barbed wire fences between us. it's sad. But then we went in the Airbnb. I pointed it out to you. There was a sign across in this beautiful building, and it was the Breslover Rebbe's one of the quotes he has. Im ata mamin she'efshar lekalkel,
if you believe that you can destroy,
as tamin she'efshar lekalkel,
then believe that you can also fix.
Yes. So that was in That's my mind. Beautiful. I kept seeing wow. that, and I kept thinking about that gate. If we're in this point where people living side by side need a fence, you know, it's so sad.
That's really beautiful.
So I just, that was, and that's in my, that was in my mind the whole time, you know.
I think I had to have my little emotional outburst so that you could get to that point. That's a better yeah. way to end.
So I think let's just bring Mashiach to here. just whatever you do, think is, whatever you say, are you bringing Mashiach or are you preventing Mashiach? That should be your yelling at this guy. Is that going to bring Mashiach or prevent Mashiach?
Yell at who?
You can't. Whatever. It,
the yarmulke guy.
Whatever.
Oh, no, I just blocked him.
Yeah, we just blocked. There's no, I'm not giving back that energy.
Look at how pleased he is.
Not giving back.
No, but this is my favorite thing to do. I like to argue with people on my personal account and then log back into Marie's and then just block them. So I get the last word.
Uh-huh. Zappo. Bye. Bye.
Amazing.
Tell me I'm sneeze. You got to be kidding me. Anyway, you know what else this year I'm doing? We didn't talk about this, but I got to visit this very, very special rabbi in Jerusalem, Rabbi wow. Gamliel. Dina's father organized it. We went to Jerusalem.
Obviously.
In this town, I don't even know the name of the town, but we pulled in. And he had just had stents and heart surgery and all that, and he wasn't taking visitors. It said on his door, this is the rabbi that usually before Rosh Hashanah, there's lines around the corner to visit him and get a blessing and go. Dina walks in as if she's walking into her own father's house. This rabbi had just had surgery. He's one of the biggest Kabbalists in the world, and people from all over the world come to pray. And he... And Dina's father, he always asked Dina's father for blessings. So he like sees Dina's father as a Rebbe to him.
Okay.
And he was sitting there and he just kept doing this. I should post this video. He's sitting there in his bathrobe because he just had surgery. Like a few days before, he's just talking and he's always just like this. And when he'd give the blessings.
I think that's called a tick.
No. It was called energy. He wanted to, he could have been like this and talk like that, but he said, no, energy. And this year, and you always tell me sometimes I turn off when I'm with people. This year, I'm giving energy. I'm going to give the energy he gave.
Modi, you give energy. I'm just.
No, but when I'm one-on-one with people, when I'm on stage, yes, but when you're one-on-one with people, sometimes
no, you
they're
check out sometimes.
So boring and I just.
Modi, they can see you.
I want a bus to drive through the restaurant. It's, you know, no,
it's
people
it's,
are so hard.
Modi has no poker face.
Whoa.
No,
God.
It's hard.
Wow, are people boring?
It's hard to, yeah. Some people, it's really difficult.
But this guy, you
thankfully,
know,
we're not one
we
of
We walked the, in and he wasn't expecting it. And he was and wasn't expecting it, but he just said, boom, energy. Just people are here.
How old is he?
In his 70s, but, okay. You know, but like, this huge rabbi, and we got a blessing from him.
I wasn't there for that one, but
you weren't there.
No, Leo was.
But I was at Karis Deer, and I think that holds me over for quite a bit.
So if he played the game with us on this show, who's your rabbi?
Oh,
he would have said Dina's father.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is insane.
Which oh, we haven't played that game in a while. We need to get a guest in.
Going to get guests.
We're
in
going
here.
To. I'm
we're,
working.
We're, thank you guys for very much for saying that you missed us, but we were busy, and we could do this on fate, what's it called? On Zoom?
What's it called?
But it's not that fun.
It's just, there's
something. Different energy.
There's different energy.
Energy. Okay.
Shana Tova, everybody. ModiLive.com for shows. Do you have anything you plug in?
Periel Ashenbrand.
Oh,
on
you have
Instagram.
An event on in October.
I have a bunch of stuff coming up, like a lot. Also, you can come see Carol, my new character.
I actually like Carol.
Okay.
That's who's in Modi's DMs is Carol. Very inappropriate.
It's my grandmother. Carol is my grandmother.
Well, really? You need to tell Carol to get out of Modi's DMs.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody. Thank you very much for listening. ModiLive.com for tickets and Modi_live on Instagram. Lots of videos and everything that Leo's putting on. So enjoy them. And thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.